On to the Chaim HaSanoch. Okay, so we're holding Chavakuk Perek days. We're learning these very important psukim describing the coming of Mashiach, describing the Nevuah of Yirmiyah be'od melos shivim shana efkoid eschem. We learn Rashi the Mitzudos, the Malbim. Okay, so now let's learn the Gros. So let me put on the screen. Let me put on the screen what I got here. Let's see what I got. There's something wrong with my phone. I'm having a real problem here. Share photo. File manager, K images, camera.
Aaron.
Okay.
Aaron.
Okay. This is the wrong thing. Let's try again. Share photo, file manager, images, camera. Let's try this. Okay, this is the Likutei Shas. Okay, let's do Likutei Shas. Okay, we'll go out of order. Let's try. I hope you can see on the screen the Likutei Shas. Okay, if you can, you can probably zoom in with your fingers if you don't see clearly. Okay, so we're going to learn over here the Likutei Shas on this pasuk, which Ki oid chazoin lamoyed. Again, it's Chavakuk, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Beis, Gimel. Now, the truth is, there's one more Likutei Shas that you don't have. I'm gonna read a few. It's on the previous page, and you don't see this on the screen. Okay, so I'll read it. Al mishmarti emoide ve'esyatzva al motzor ton rabbanon pamachas yotza roiv ador v'lo yardu gishamim. It happened one year when the majority of the year passed and it did not rain. Sholchu l'choni hamagnin. You don't see this on your screen. I'm reading to you what's on the previous page. This is just very short, and anyway, we learned this in Rashi. I just want to review very quickly. Sholchu l'choni hamagol hispalol v'yardu gishamim. They sent for choni hamagol, please pray that it should rain. He was mispalel and it did not rain. What did he do? Og uga v'omad b'seicha k'derech she'osach Chavakuk ha'navi. Shenemar al mishmarti emoida v'es yatzva al motzor. Like it says here in this pasuk, I stood in my watch. I then stood al motzor, which means he made for himself a self-imposed motzor. Omar lefana ribane shalolam b'necha samu p'neyem elai. Shani kiven bayis lifanecha. Nishba ani bishimcha hagadol she'eni zoz mikan ad she'terachem al bonecha. I beg you, Hashem, I swear that I'm not going to move from this location until you have pity upon your children. Hiskilu gishamim menachem, and began to rain. Okay, there are many things that we discussed this at great length. We discussed this, the Rashi. This was the Chazal that Rashi cited, that Choni Hamagol, he learned the technique of drawing a circle and standing in the center and demanding from Hashem not to leave until it begins to rain. He learned this from Chavakuk, from this pasuk. And the source is in the word the Esiyatzva al Motzor. The word Motzor literally means a siege, but in this context it means he drew a circle around himself. Okay, this is the Makar. There are a lot of more details in this Chazal. But let's go further. We're spending too much time. I want to move ahead. Let's go to the next words of the Chazal, which you have on your screen, which I put up on the screen. And here are the words, the psukim are ki oid chazoin lamoed v'yofeach laketz v'lo yichazev im yismama chakeloi kivo yovoi lo yacher. Tanya, look in the brayso. What is it in the brayso? Rabbi Nosson Leimer. You have this on your screen. Tanya, Rabbi Nosson Leimer, Mikra Zeh, Noikev, V'yored Atohoim. This pasuk is powerful. It penetrates all the way down to the depths of the world. Ki oid chozoin lamoyed v'yofeach laketz v'lo yichazev im yismamo chakeloi ki vo yovo lo yacher. What does this mean? Mikan muchach she'ein lechashev es moed bo haketz. Okay, this is an extremely important pasuk. This pasuk is the source that we are forbidden to make calculations as to when Moshiach will come. The person should not make any calculations. Why? Because this pasuk says it's a moed. It's a moed. It's a set time. It's a set time. Okay, and what exactly is the source? Where do you see this in the pasuk? So similarly from the word moed. Moed means it's in its set time. If it delays, yearn for it. Kivo yavo lo ya'acher. It will not be delayed. Let's read a little bit further. Loi kirabaseinu shoyudarshin ad idon v'idonin uplag idon. This, okay, this is the pasuk. Okay, this is the pasuk in Daniel. Okay, this is the pasuk in Daniel. The handwriting on the wall, on the wall, where the Chazal darshin the pasuk, that was the translation of the words of that pasuk is a time, another time, and a half of a time. Okay, that is a translation of the pasuk in Daniel. That's the pasuk in Daniel that describes the coming of Moshiach, and there Chazal indeed they make calculations. What is called a time, what is called another time, what is called half a time, and there many people have come throughout all the generations and made elaborate calculations as to when the Zman of Moshiach is coming. V'loy k'rebi simlai shahayadoresh he'echaltom lechem dima v'tashkemo b'dmoy sholish. Pasuk Tehillim, you have eaten the bread of tears, and you have been given to drink tears, demoshlish, a triple layer of tears, an expression which means an intensity, which also in that pasuk, according to Rabbi Simlai, alludes to the calculation of when Moshiach will come. V'lo k'rabbi Akiva shal yudorish od achas me'ot hi v'ani marish es hashemayim v'yisrael. It's just a small amount of time longer, and I will cause the heaven and the earth to quake. Ela pasuk zem misyaches l'tkufas v'yisheni Malchus Rishon Shel Beis Chashmonoi, 70 Shana, Malchus Shnia Shel Beis Hordis, 52, Umalchus Ben Koziva, 2 Shanim Umechza. Okay, so let's understand what he's saying over here. He's coming to Darshan, Rabbi Akiva, that this Pasuk that he quotes in Chagai, which we did not yet learn, refers to the Tekufa of the Bayis Sheni. Now, the Tekufa Bayis Sheni, what happened? The first Malchus was the Malchus Beis Chashmonai of 70 years. The Malchus, from the time of the Chanukah miracle. The Chanukah miracle took place in the time of the Bayis Sheni. And the Chanukah miracle took place when the kings of the Jewish people were from the family of the Chashmonoim, who were Kohanim, which is problematic because we have a tradition, Lo Yosur Shevet Miyehuda Umechoykek Mibein Raglov. Malchus can only come from Yehuda, not from Shevet Levi. The Chashmonoim were Kohanim. Kohanim come from Shevet Levi, and they, in this era, they seized the Malchus because there was no one else. There was no one else that stepped up to the plate to serve as a leader for Klal Yisrael, so they took it for themselves. The complaint against the Chashmonoim was that later there were people from the Shevet of Yehuda who were eligible to take back the reins of leadership, and the Chashmonoim did not relinquish their control and return it to the rightful heir of Klal Yisrael. And this was a very bitter complaint that was lodged against the Chashmonoim. And this primarily was a complaint after the era of the Hanukkah miracle. Some learn, it's very, very, yeah?
I just want to observe something here. Rabbi Akiva is using the numbers 70 and 52 in a different way than we normally do, because we normally assume, associate 70 with Bavel and 52 with Paras and Madai.
It's very good.
And here,
that's right. Very, very good. Here he's even within the Malchus, the Bayis Sheni, he's taking those same numbers, which goes to show that prophecy and numbers always can be viewed in different dimensions, there are different ways to understand things, and although we usually choose to look at it one way, you can take the same exact raw material and darshan and manipulate it and look at it from a different perspective, which gives you an entirely different result in a chanami. So it's very interesting. Over here, we're discussing over the Tkuv of the Bayis Sheni. We are discussing the Malchus Beis Chashmonoi. The Malchus Beis Chashmonoi was not the beginning. The Bayis Sheni did not begin with the Chashmonoim. The Malchus Bayis Sheni began with Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the Melech of Yehuda. He was a descendant of Yehuda. And at some point in time later on, it was given over to the Malchus, the family of the Chashmonoim. And then the family of the Chashmonoim was killed out by Hordis. And Hordis was a slave, really. But he became the Melech. He was a slave. And he took for himself the Malchus. And he lasted for 52 years. And when his Malchus came to an end, then Koziva, he was the Melech for 2.5 years. Rabbi Akiva put his full full confidence in Ben Koziva. He gave him legitimacy. He believed Ben Koziva would be the Melech HaMoshiach. And this, by the way, was the only tekufa, the last tekufa in Jewish history until the State of Israel, where Jews minted their own coins. We once discussed this, that if you want to talk about autonomy, if you want to describe a nation that has autonomy, you know how they have autonomy? If they mint their own coins. When you mint your own coins, you have your own economy. That is the most potent statement of independence. If you're living in a country, you're a colony, and you declare independence, but you're still using the British pound to buy food and to live, that means that you're not independent. To show your real independence is not just to declare independence, but it's to establish your own economy with your own currency. That is a major statement. And it's happening today all over again with cryptocurrency. Okay, cryptocurrency is a whole new underground economy, which is slowly emerging in this world as a legitimate form of currency. And every country is trying to play catch up, and and every day almost some yokel releases his own cryptocurrency, which most of the time is just worthless, it just goes down the drain. But every so often it happens that a new currency that has been established by an entity, whether it's a country or whether it's a powerful organization, it takes hold. And that's an amazing thing, because in ancient times, a way you declare yourself as being independent is by minting your own coins. Ben Koziva established himself as being a melech by minting his own coins. Until that point in time, the coins that were used were Roman coins. The people living in Eretz, during the last Kuv, even the Chashmonoim, they were using Rome. They were not using their own currency. They were using currency coins from another nation, Persia, Paras, Umadai. They were given permission to live, to exist, to build the Beis HaMikdash. But on the front door of the Beis HaMikdash was called Shushan HaBira. There was an image. And it wasn't just that. It was the economy was a Persian economy. Later, when the Romans came to power, the economy switched over to a Roman economy, and the currency used in Eretz Yisrael was Roman coins. But when Ben Koziva broke away from the Romans, rebelled, and he got rid of the Romans, he established his own currency. This is an incredible change in the history of Klal Yisrael. But unfortunately, it only lasted for 2.5 years. And then what happened? And then Malchus ben Koziva Shlesham Mechso, my, what is it, Yefech, Lakeitz, Vilichazev, Omer Abis Shmuel, Banachmeni, Omer Abionison, Tipach, Atzman, Shal Mechashve Kitzre. It's okay, so what do we have over here? We have over here, so far, three different opinions telling us how to make the calculation of the coming of Mashiach. We have the Pasuk in Daniel. The Pasuk in Daniel that Chazal, Darshan used that's still even popular, Ad Hayom Hazeh, to figure out the time of Mashiach. We have the Pasuk of Rabbi Simlai from Tehillim. And we have the Pasuk of Rabbi Akiva from Chagai. So the Gemara here is presenting three different opinions who hold that it is correct to calculate the coming of Mashiach. And each opinion cites a source, a Pasuk, which they dwell upon to extrapolate, to inspect and explore and bring forth the exact moment when Mashiach will come. Along comes our Pasuk in Chavakuk, is Pasuk number 4, which is coming to reject the other three opinions, not to make calculations. The fact that it says Mo'et has a connotation, at least according to this opinion, it is a time that is elusive. It is a time that is a chazoin. It's a vision. A chazoin by nature is something that is concealed. The Mo'et is contained in a vision that's not meant for the average person to be aware of, to know the precise moment. And to support this, we have Omar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omar Rabbi Yonasan. He issued a curse. Tipach Atzmon Shel Mechashvei Kitzin. May the Atzmon... Now, does that mean the bones? Many, I think there's another girsa, atzmoisa, bones, or atzma means their very essence. The very essence of these people making the calculation should be their bones should bust, should explode. Once the kates comes, it's not going to happen anymore. Elecha keloi, yearn for it. Shenemar im yisma mafe delays chakeloi. Shema toimar onu mechakin v'hu einu mechake. Then we have another drasha. Maybe you'll say that we are yearning, but the time doesn't care. Tamaloimar ulechein the pasuk in Yeshaya yichake Hashem lachananchem. Hashem yearns to show you chein. Hashem yearns to bestow upon you grace. Ulechein, therefore, your room. L'rachemchem, Hashem will rise up to have compassion upon you. What's holding you back? If we're yearning for it to come, and Hashem is yearning to bring the Mashiach, so why then is there a delay? Midas hadin. Mi ma'akev, midas hadin ma'akeves, v'chi ma'acher, shemidas hadin ma'akeves, anu lama mechakin. If that's the case then, if the Midas Hadin is preventing you from coming, so what's the purpose in yearning? We should just give up already. And the answer is, Lekabel Socher, to receive reward, Shenemer, Ashrei Kol Choykei Loi, fortunate is the man that yearns for its coming. Now this Medrash on the page over here has stitched together so many Pesukim. It's absolutely remarkable. It's breathtaking what we have over here, the few words we have over here, in this little Maimer Chazal of Masechta Sanhedrin. It's a piece of Gemara. We did over here a half an Amud Gemara in this Chazal. It has stitched together all of these numerous psukim. We have the Pasuk in Daniel, the Pasuk in Tehillim, the Pasuk in Chagai, which seem to indicate that there is a set time. Now, the problem with there being a set time is what our Pasuk is addressing. Because if you tell people and you make a declaration that Mashiach is going to come at this moment in time, and if the Mashiach does not come, there is a very great danger. Because people who believed you, who believed that this is the Zman of Mashiach, when they see that the time has passed and Mashiach has not come, they give up. They no longer have respect for leadership, the people who have told them that Mashiach will come by this set moment in time. Like I told you many times, when I was a counselor, I took 100 years ago in camp, we were trained, never threaten a camper with a punishment that you cannot enforce, that you cannot carry through. Because if you threaten a person that if you do something, you will punish him by with a certain punishment, and the person disobeys your warning, and you then wish to punish him, what happens? What happens if and he sees that you're a liar? He loses his respect for you. You threaten that if you do A, I'm going to do B. He did A, and you did not carry through and punish him by doing B. He has no respect. Anything you will then tell him in the future will be ignored, will be completely ignored, and therefore a person should not make threats that he cannot carry out. If Jewish leadership tells Klal Yisrael that Mashiach has to come at this moment in time, and Mashiach does not come, then we lose all respect for Jewish leadership. And then when they tell us to do things that are very important to do, teshuvah, u'ma'asim tovim, why? What's the purpose? What do we get out of this? You're a bunch of liars anyway. That's why it was very dangerous. People were saying, when this whole thing came about, Corona, Mashiach is coming. Mashiach is coming, Lel Pesach. Okay, it's a very irresponsible thing to say. I heard a lot of people saying this, that for sure Mashiach is coming. So many people didn't mean it has to come. But there are some gullible people out there. We see there are a lot of gullible people. A crisis, Rachman al-Litzlan, brings out all the gullible people who really believe in like you see the people who run for Segulois, who really believe in Segulois, it's very sad. The Segulois are not going to help you. We never see people be saved by Segulois. Someone said to me, I couldn't believe this, that I told you about this thing. I have this now new pet peeve about the miracle Sefer Torah. It's called the miracle. We live in a generation of miracles. We think we are on the level of the Baal Shem Tov. So someone said to me that you should buy a letter in the Sefer Torah. It's going to bring salvation. The proof is he knows two people. He knows firsthand two people that were sick, were very sick with Corona, and they bought a letter in the new Sefer Torah, and they got better. They got better. Would you believe it? They bought a letter in the Sefer Torah, and they got better. So this is proof, ironclad proof, that if you buy a letter in the Sefer Torah, Mashiach is coming. Really, really. Guess what? There are people who did not buy a letter in the Sefer Torah, and they also got better. How do you explain that? How is that possible? So the answer is, these are very, very dangerous things. So when you start telling people that this is going to happen at this set period of time, and it doesn't happen, if you're a gullible person, you actually believe this, and when you see that it's not true, and it doesn't happen, you lose all respect. That is the danger of setting a set time for the coming of Mashiach. And this pasuk says, "Do not dare do that." And here. There are two. Here is where the pasuk, according to the Gemara, addresses, because it says here, it says, "Lo kivo yava, it will certainly come." The word. See, I tried to suggest in the beginning. I thought that the real proof from this pasuk that the zman is concealed is from the word the Chazoin Lamoed. Chazoin Lamoed means it's a set time that is a vision. It's concealed. No one knows what it is. I made a mistake. Not that I made a mistake, but the Gemara says there's much more to it. The key words are ki vo im yismama chakeloi ki vo yavo. If you tell a set a time and the time does not come, it's over. There's nothing more to do. You miss the boat and that's the end. You might as well just give up because Mashiach will never come. The Pasuk says that's not true. Ki vo yavo. Even if it delays, ki yismama, if it delays, still chakeloi ki vo yavo. If you set a hard deadline, then you cannot fulfill the end of the pasuk im yismama chakeloi ki vo yavo. Because if you are telling me that this is the deadline, and that deadline passes, then there's nothing more, it's over. There's no such thing as im yismama chakeloi ki vo yavo. That is a contradiction to the deadline. If the train is leaving the station at 9 o'clock in the morning and you come to the train station 9:01, you're not going anywhere. You're not going to reach your destination because there's no more train. You're done. Forget it. It's over. It's impossible to fulfill if the train's not here. Im yisrael chakelo kivo yavo. You missed the deadline. It is an inherent contradiction. So therefore, this pasuk is coming to reject, according to this opinion, the other three opinions who have taken the liberty to take psukim and to set zimanim of when Mashiach has to come. And then the pasuk of then the Chazal, just to review, the Chazal wanted to make these very beautiful drashas by stitching together other psukim, that not only do we yearn for the coming of Mashiach, the Ribbono Shel Olam yearns for the coming of Mashiach. If that's the case, so what's holding it back? If we are yearning and Hashem is yearning, Midas Hadin, we are not worthy. If we are not worthy, so what's the purpose of yearning anymore for the coming of Mashiach? And then the Gemara says an incredible, incredible Yesod, and that is Schar, Lekabel Socher. What's the Socher? Ashrei kol choikei loy. Praiseworthy are all those who yearn for its coming. We're living now in a world where there's an opportunity. Every moment that Mashiach is not here is an opportunity that will never come again. It's an opportunity in times of darkness, of Hester Panim, to have emuna, to yearn for its coming, and even though nothing makes any sense and it's darkness, Ashrei kol chaykeloi, seize this moment. Every single person can look back in their life, can look back at a time in their life that at the time was very, very dark. There's no person that's free from this reality. It was a time in your life when you don't see things getting better, things changing, anything turning out for the better. And now when you look at it years later, in hindsight, it wasn't so bad. It really wasn't so bad. It wasn't like what we thought. And there were elements in that zman that were the seeds, where seeds were planted for very great blessing that came, that developed later. And now we have to challenge ourselves during that tekufa in our own life when things seem to be very dark. Did we daven at that time the way we should have? Did we do mitzvahs? Did we relate to Hashem with the proper emunah, knowing now, 2020 hindsight, knowing now what was the big picture, it wasn't so bad. Did we take advantage of that time to properly relate to Hashem in the way that we should have? And the answer almost always is no. And that is a Musar Haskel for every new time in our life when things don't seem to be going our way and it's painful and frustrating and difficult. And the older we get, the more frustrating it is. But we have to still draw from our past and from history, is that even during these times of darkness, Ashrei, praiseworthy. It's an opportunity that will never come again. It's an opportunity to have emunah is precious. And Ashrei kol choikeloi. We take the word choike three psukim. This pasuk says im yismama chakeloi. There's another pasuk from the that's written from the perspective of Hashem. Ulchin yichake Hashem. Hashem anticipates. And then there is the third pasuk that says Ashrei kol choikeloi. And this gemara is awesome. We yearn. Hashem is yearning. So who's stopping it? The answer is there's another force that Hashem allows to exist called Midas Adin, and that's preventing it. But if only we will be in a matzav of Ashrei, that holding back is for us to receive reward, Ashrei kol choikeloi. That is a moment of growth. The reward, Rabbi Yisai, is not just reward that comes in Olam Haba. It's the actual struggle, the actual experience of being able to cope with difficulty is a skill, is a lifetime, is a skill which is gold, which you only gain during these periods of time. The sechar is not just a sechar in the next world. It's a sechar now. It's a reward now. The ability to accept, to be mekabel, accept and deal with the situation, that itself is the schar. That itself is an acquired skill which enables a person to achieve, accomplish, and live life with peace, knowing that this is the way it's supposed to be, and there's a purpose, and ultimately it will lead to something that will be to our benefit. It'll be beneficial for all of us. Okay, so this is the Ma'amar Chazal. Now I want to do with you the Chaimus Anoch and the Gra. Let's do over here a Chaimus Anoch. Okay, let me put it up on the screen. And just in case I don't even have it, let me actually take another picture. Give me one moment, just in case I don't have the right picture. Just give me one moment to do this. We're going to do the Chaimus Anoch. Take me one moment. All right. Sorry about that. Let me put it on the screen. Let's do the Chaimus Anoch. It's upside down, right? Chaimus Anoch. You have it upside down?
Upside down.
Okay, let me try that again. Sorry about that. How do I do this? Let's try one more time quickly. Okay, You see it? Are you able to read it?
Yes.
Okay, let's learn. Al Mishmarti Emoida. Amru Razal. Huva Bialkut. Amru Lekhlesh Barhu. Kol Misha Shavar Karduma Yavai Etzli. Anyone who has broken Kardumoy Yavai Etzli. Now, what does it mean, Kardumoy Yavai Etzli? What's the translation of the word Kardumoy?
Is it a hammer or an axe?
Okay. Anyone who broke the axe, she should come to me. Let's see what it means. Yavai Etzli, you broke your axe. Yoim Tabar Magal. On the 15th day of Chodesh Av is the day that you break the axe. Hischil Tzeveach Ad Ono Hashem Shivati. Let's see what this means. Let's go a little bit further. Let's see what this means. Amalek Hashem Baruch Hu Hoy Rav Es Yitzroi Ben Toira Ata V'loy Am Aretz Ata Leich Kisoyv Aleph Baluach V'achakach Toimer Hodieni Esakets Ad Kan Divrayim. Okay, so here he's quoting over a Chazal Yalkut, a Medrash, and the Chaim Lesnach himself is telling us that this Yalkut doesn't make any sense. This Yalkut over here, we have over here a difficulty. What exactly does it mean? Anyone who breaks the axe, come to me, and then Hashem says, come here and write down the letter Aleph. What exactly does this mean? So he comes to explain now. Ulefi Chaimer Hanoisei Ef Shalomam, the first white line. According to the Chaimer, the matter, according to the, I guess, the context, Ev Shalom, the Yadua Shahachurbonois al Bitul Torah. The Aguulu Hoasi, the Bemeher of Yamenu, Biskus Moish Rabbeinu of Ashalom, Vutova Yikoro de Oraisa. Now we know this is something which we read is the Haftoira of Tisha B'Av, Al Mo of the Ha'aretz. Why was the earth destroyed? Why was there a Churban? Yirmiyah Hanavi, he says that this question, in other words, why was there a Churban? This question was posed to the entire world, and no one knew. The Talmidei Chachamim did not know. No one in the world knew. The Chachamim did not know. The Malachim did not know. The Nevi'im did not know. The common man did not know. There was no one in this entire world, including the lower world and the upper world, that knew the answer as to why Hashem truly brought upon this world the Churban Bayis Rishon. Now we think we know, because Chazal tell us it was because of Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayos, and Shefichas Damim. But let's put that aside for the moment. That's not the only reason, or that's not maybe the essence of why it happened. Until Hashem said, none of you know the answer, I will tell you the answer. She'al she'ozvu es berisi. You have abandoned my covenant, which Chazal understand to mean, you have abandoned the Torah. And they go on to say these very, very interesting words, she'loi beruchoi ba'Torah techila. They did not recite a blessing before they learned the words of Torah. Which basically means, there are many, many interpretations, but the summary of all of the interpretations means, you did not appreciate the value of Torah. Torah is a very nice thing. It's a holy document. It was given to us by Hashem at Har Sinai. But it's not the most important thing in this world. There are other things that are important, like making money, being happy, social media. You know, there are a lot of things in this world that are very, very important. Hashem said, sorry to shatter your image of this world, but the most important thing is Torah. The fact that you do not make a blessing, or it's not significant, the blessing that you're making for Torah, is an indication that you do not appreciate the Torah, and that is the root cause of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So he goes on to explain over here that the Churban was Mishum Bitul Torah, and he quotes here Yirmiyah. These are the psukim that we read on Tisha B'Av in the Haftorah, in the morning. He demanded the honor of the Torah. Here comes the answer to what it means to acts. Do not use Torah as a crown to take glory in and an axe to dig. In other words, it's a very dangerous thing. Is Torah a business? Is Torah just a tool to enhance your life? Or is Torah the real deal? Unfortunately, it's so true. Many times you get the impression that people who are, yeshivas and shuls, people, they need to make a life for themselves. And, some people are plumbers. They make a very good living, plumbers. Even during Corona, you need a plumber. There are people who are in construction. There are people in the food industry. There are people who have different skills. They're computer programmers. They have different skills, and they use these skills to make a life for themselves. They make a very nice parnasa. They feed their family. And they become very prominent members of the community, and everyone wants to be meshadich with them, and they build families, and they accomplish they have a nice life. That's fine and good. And then there are people that are clay kodesh, who are in the business of they have yeshivas, they are Rosh Yeshiva, they are rebbes, they have shuls, they have institutions, and all of it is for the purpose of lehagdil Torah ulehadira. It's for Hashem's honor. And many times it starts out l'shem shamayim, but as time passes on, it's no longer l'shem shamayim. It's nothing more than just an opportunity to make money, an opportunity for prestige, an opportunity to flex your muscles. And that's exactly what Chazal here say. Watch out. Don't use religion as a means to glorify yourself or a tool to abuse other people. That's what it says. I'm not making this up. Do not al tasem atara lehiskadel bohem v'loikardoim an axe lachbar bohem to dig. Okay? Whatever that means. But the basic idea is don't use Torah as a tool or an opportunity to glorify yourself and make a living. Gam amuzal. What?
That's
Pirkei Avos. Yeah. This is Pirkei Avos, correct. It says here, face utnan, al tasim atul avos. Gam amuzal, the oisiyos hatarach yukasubos lamal lekoidim shenivra ha'olam bimiluan. Okay, before the world was created, the letters of the Aleph A's were written out. Aleph is not just Aleph. It's Aleph Lamed Pei. Every single letter in the Aleph A's can be broken down into many letters. And each letter, in turn, can be broken down into many letters. This is Kabbalistic. This is the Derech of the Chemes Hanoch. The Chidah, Kedarkoi. There is always a tinge of Kabbalah in the words of the Chidah. The Aleph Haysa Ksuva Af. The letter Aleph, there's a Lamed, but there's also a Pei. Aleph, Lamed, Pei. V'ruach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'ein ha'olam miskayim ba'af. So he's saying over here a Kabbalistic principle. Okay, this is pure Kabbalah. In that originally, the letter Aleph was spelled Aleph, Pei, Af. Not like the way we have it, Aleph, Lamed, Pei. And Hashem saw that if he creates the world with the letter Aleph, the way it was in its original form, Aleph, Pei, then the world will cease to exist. Hit Lamed Batavech V'Nasa Aleph. Hashem inserted the letter Lamed in between the Aleph and the Pei, and that's why it's Aleph. Over Bittel Torah Mistalik Lamed V'Nishar Af. Okay, Kabbalah. When we live in this world, and the learning of Torah has no value, it's not choshuv, it's not important, then the letter lamed, which means limud, Lim Lamed represents the principle of the study of Torah. When the study of Torah departs, all we're left with is Aleph Pei, which spells anger. And Hashem sends down to this world a dosage of anger. Atkan Divrayim. So what? So this. These are the words. Who are these words from? These are the words of who? Ad Kan Divrayim. He starts off by telling us from who? From the Zohar. Okay, this is from the Zohar. Now we can go back to the Medrash, to the Yalkut. The Yalkut says, V'zehu sha'omar, mi sheshavar kardumoy shebemukoyim kardum lachbar boy, meshaber kardumoy, a person who has broken his axe. He does not abuse the Torah, does not use Torah as a kardim lachbar boy, but he learns Torah l'shem shemaim the way it's meant to be learned. Kiloimar she'ein apoyne linyone ha'olam hazeh klal v'lomeid Torah l'shma. He learns Torah for its own pure sake. Shaloi al menas l'kabel pros, not for the purpose of receiving reward, kavod, money, all l'shaloi l'shem shemaim ki im l'shem shemaim yovo yetzli. Hashem says, you're mine. I want you to be part of my team. Hischil tzaveach, dekevon shuloi mei Torah v'choyte b'machshava levad, hokaimulon d'machshava ro ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitztarfu l'maisa. V'yamai lo yoyil im loy mei af d'machshava ein l'shem shemayim. So what happened? People started screaming and they started saying, Hashem, it's not fair. The truth is, you're right. We have ulterior motives. We learn Torah for kavod, for honor, for money. We do it shaloi, not l'shem shemayim. But so what? Mitoich shaloi l'shma, bo l'shma. What do you want from us? We're only human beings. We need a little encouragement. We need a little schmaltz. A little incentive. It's just because we have in our mind the machshava ra that we're doing it shaloi l'shem shemayim, we have another principle in Yadlus that Hashem is not mitztaref a machshava ra l'maisa. As long as at the end of the day you get the job done, we don't care what you're thinking when you do the mitzvah. So if we are learning Torah, the words of Torah are very holy, it will have an effect upon us at some point in time. But just because the incentive is honor, is money, what's so terrible? Leze Omar, hoi, Rav Es Yitzray, Ben Torah Ata, you are a Ben Torah, She Ata Mechavein L'shma, Kisoiv Aleph Baluach, I want you to write the letter Aleph on a tablet, Ureish Ikoroi Af, and I want you to look that the main letters, the first letter, and the last letter is Aleph Pei. Af v'ani hitalti lamed likiyam oilam. V'ein ze ela kishaloi meid lishma. That's only when you learn l'shem shemayim. U'chishaloi meid shaloi lishma. Af shehu b'machashava. Even though you have good intent. Ha'torah shaloi einam o'eles levatel ho'af. V'ein ze kimachshava ro'a d'olma. He's saying over here a very deep principle, extremely powerful, powerful idea. He's saying a chiddush lahalacha, that this principle of that mitoich sheloi lishma bo lishma does not apply in the world of limud haTorah. It only applies in other matters. When it comes to giving tzedakah, when it comes to doing mitzvahs, there we apply the principle, just do the mitzvah no matter what, mitoich sheloi lishma bo lishma. But when it comes to the study of Torah, doesn't apply. It has to be 100% l'shem shemayim. Why? What's his argument? Because The Lamed doesn't really belong there to begin with. Lamed represents Limud. Aleph, the main word, the world was built with the letter Aleph. Aleph is Af. So the world can't exist with Af. So we had to it was an emergency meeting. We had to bring in support. We had to take something that doesn't belong and thrust it into the center to temporarily support this structure, the Aleph and the Pei. When you bring in someone from the outside, it has to be pure. If you have, this is the way it was established, everything else in the world, this is the way it was from day one. This was the way it was meant to be. If this way it's meant to be, and you're not with the program, and you're doing your Shleil L'Shem Shemayim, it's okay. We tell Shleil L'Shema Bal L'Shema. But when you have an emergency, and you have to call for outside help, for assistance, you need the real deal. It really has to work. When you call in for the troops, when you call in 911, I have an emergency. You don't ask 911 dispatcher, okay, send me a medical student. Send me someone who's a first year medical student to come to my house and to help me with my emergency. If you have an emergency and you call 911, you're expecting that they're going to send the best. They're going to send a person that was well trained, has everything, all the knowledge, everything he possibly needs. He needs to help you, to assist you. Because when it's an emergency, you don't have time to patchka around. You need the real deal. The world was created with Aleph Pei. The world was created with the letters of the Aleph Pei. This is Kabbalah, obviously. The letter Aleph in its pure form is Aleph Pei. The world can't exist. Emergency 911. Help. Okay. I'm going to send you help. What's the help? The Lamed. The Lamed is the paramedic. He will come with all the medicine, and he's going to sustain the Aleph Pei. The paramedic better be licensed, better be well-trained, better have a lot of experience. There's no time to patchka. I meant well. I'm a medical student who doesn't even know the Aleph Pei, and I'm going to solve all your problems. That's not the way it works. When the Lamed was inserted here, it has to be Lishma. This is how he interprets this Chazal. And then he goes on to say, he elaborates, gives another interpretation. The other interpretation is, Inami, Shamati, V'oisef noifech b'siyat d'shmayu, or, I have another elaboration to this Medrash. I'm going to add a little, and inject a little drop of my own chiddush into the second interpretation. The Adam Arishon Pogam Ba'Aleph Mishmoy V'Nishar Dom. Another interpretation. Adam was called by Hashem Adam Aleph Dalid Mem, but man blew it. He ate from the Eitz Hadas. When you make a mistake, you affected your neshama. The Aleph was damaged. V'zeh sh'amar kisoiv aleph baluach. Write the aleph baluach, ki luach gematria dam. Luach is begematria blood. 44. Okay? V'chol agolios nimshichu b'cheit adam harishoin. L'chein kisoiv aleph baluach. Add the aleph to the dam. Luach is begematria dam. Dam, the Aleph now becomes Adam. Shugimatri Adam, the Tikh of Aleph and Asa Adam Kalamashi Saknu Aleph Vivolit Sion Goyal. And that will bring the redemption. Okay, it's a cute little drush, not my style. I think Rabbi Michal likes this type of stuff, right? Rabbi Michal, you're into this stuff? This I think is something that you appreciate. This like a rokech type of chida. Rabbi Michal, you there?
A little bit like the
Rokeach. Okay, but not,
well,
now.
Well,
now.
He's more gematrias than. But yeah, I see the point.
Okay, no. Let's now just to summarize. I'm gonna put it back on the screen. Let's just go read the Yalkut again with everything that we've learned. I'm gonna put it back on the screen. The Yalkut one more time. Sorry, I took it off. Let's put it back on the screen and read and read the beginning of the Yalkut. Okay, the beginning, the Chidah, it starts off with Omru Razal, Huva B'Yalkut, Omar Lo Yakodesh Baruch Hu, Kol Misha Shavar Kardumoy. Anyone who broke the axe, meaning only a person who learns Torah 100% L'Shem Shamayim. The word Kardumoy, the two words, four words, Kol Mi Shavar Kardumoy is a code for the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos that says, don't make Torah a Kardoim Lachbar Boy. Don't use Torah as a tool for your honor, for your glory, for your parnasa, to abuse people. Don't use it as a tool to lord over others. Anyone that learns, knows that lesson, and is a pure, honest, sincere person, call me Shavak Ardumo, Yovayetzli, you're my team. Hischel Tzaveach, men who were not on that level, who did use Torah as a parnasa, Kavod, they said, Ribbono shel Olam, come on. Mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. What's so bad if we learn Torah for Kavod in order to be in the newspaper, in order to make money? What's so terrible? Hischel Tzaveach, Ad Ona Hashem Shivati, which is the code word for how long, Hashem, do I have to cry out to you? Meaning, injecting a lot of interpretation to this pasuk is, what's so terrible if we learn it shaloi lishma? You allow man to do things shaloi lishma, shemitech shaloi lishma bo lishma. Omar lo yakadosh baruch hu, hoi, you're making a big mistake. Rov es yoitzroi, quarrel with your creator. Okay, I don't know all the depth of how he reads what he's about to say into this pasuk, but ben Torah, the Yalka goes on to explain, you who are a student of Torah, v'loy amoretz ato, leich kisoiv aleph baluach. Go write the letter aleph on a tablet and take note that the aleph is spelled aleph in the beginning, pei at the end, aleph lamed pei. The lamed doesn't belong there. When the world was created, it was aleph pei. And it was an emergency. I called 911. And who came to the rescue? The Lamed, Lamod, the study of Torah. The study of Torah is what's going to sustain the world. When you call in for an emergency, it has to be the real deal. Good intent is not enough. You can't take a medical student who doesn't know anything and bring him to an emergency scene and he'll play around with some medicine and say, I meant well, I meant to do well. Sorry, if you don't know what you're doing, then don't come. When we have an emergency, we only want the real deal. Write the letter Aleph on the tablet, look at the Aleph and the Pei, realize the Lamed is being brought in as an emergency, and therefore, v'achach toimar hodieni esakeitz. And only afterwards can you declare to me, let me know the end, which I don't exactly have clarity in what he's saying here. Only afterwards can a person have a complaint to Hashem or make demands of Hashem. You can't make demands of Hashem. The only one that's allowed to participate in the study of Torah are people who learn Torah l'shem shamayim. Okay, so this is a very, very fast, this is incredible. What he's saying over here is an incredible chiddush, because We generally don't appreciate this. We generally look at learning of Torah, of course, you have to give incentives. And the Rambam himself writes this. The Rambam says that when you learn Torah, the Rambam writes Beferish, when it comes to learning of the Torah, mitach shaloi lishma bo lishma, the Rambam has a very long elaboration of the entire Seder of life. A child, you give candy to you as an incentive to learn. Then when he gets a little bit older, you give him this. I don't remember all the details. And then the Rambam writes that when a person becomes a little bit older, he also needs incentives. You have to give him kavod. You have to call him Rebbe. You have to give him a title as an incentive to continue to study to be a Talmud Chacham. And then you get older, you have to have a shul, and you have to have this, you have to have that. That's the way of life. So we live in a world, it's a fact, that when it comes to the study of Torah, we don't paskin like this chida. We certainly, halacha l'maisa, paskin shemitoich shaloy lishma bo lishma is not just a principle when it comes to tzedakah, when it comes to all other mitzvahs. It is a principle that we live with when it comes to the study of Torah. But the very least we should extract from this chida is to be sensitive that even though it is mitoich shaloy lishma bo lishma, we should feel a little guilty. At least that we should take away from the chida. A little bit of guilt that Torah is different than other mitzvahs. The degree of the need, the importance of it being lishma is that much more in regard to Torah than it is in regard to other mitzvahs. Okay, so this, this is really beautiful. I want to clarify one last thing. This idea that we learn over here explains a Kabbalistic idea that I never had any appreciation of until we learned this. Rabbi Avraham Shuri, he always talks about this. I never understand what he's talking about. You look at an Aleph. Look at the letter Aleph. Right? Look over here on the word Vatsape. The Aleph is on a diagonal. How many letters in the Aleph Beis, do you know are written on a diagonal? Look at the letters of the Aleph Beis. Almost all of the letters of the Aleph Beis are pretty much vertical and horizontal. And even the letters that curve, like a chaf, they don't really curve. It's just that the top of the letter, the corner, it's round. But generally, look at the letters. Every single letter is... Okay, I have to go... All right, I'm going to put you on mute.
Somebody's phone is making a lot of noise.
I'm going to put you on mute.
Larry, please mute your phone.
Okay, the letter Aleph, if you look at the Aleph Beis, open up a Siddur, the beginning of the Siddur always has the Aleph Beis, the Aleph is on a diagonal. Why is it on a diagonal? What's going on? There's a diagonal. Every letter of the Aleph Beis, there are vertical sections and horizontal sections. And when you have a curve, it's just a round edge. But the lines of the letters of the Aleph Beis are all vertical and horizontal. The notable exception is the Aleph. The Aleph has to be written on a 90-degree angle. What in the world is going on? Why is it like that? So there's a Kabbalistic Medrash. I never understood what this means. Now, I have still no clue, but at least we have a little appreciation that says the Aleph that we have in our Sifrei Torah, it's not the way it really supposed to be. When the world was created, the Aleph was straight. In other words, straighten it out. Okay, the middle line should be straight, and there are two branches coming out. Two yuds coming out from the center. The straight line, and two yuds coming out from the center. That is the way the Aleph is really supposed to look. When Hashem created the world, he saw there's a problem. And because of the problem, Hashem... he tilted the Aleph. Okay, this whole world, you notice this whole world, the axis, you know, it's tilted. You ever wonder about that? Why is the axis of the world a little bit off? It's slanted a little bit. The earth is not, the North Pole and the South Pole are not straight. It's slanted, it's tilted. Ever wonder, why is it tilted? Why couldn't Hashem get the world straight? Why, when the earth rotates around the moon, around the sun, why does it have to rotate on a slanted and why can't it be straight? Why isn't it straight? A better question to ask you. Why is the Aleph slanted? What happened to the poor Aleph? Who abused the Aleph? Who tilted the Aleph? The Aleph was not meant to be slanted. The Aleph was meant to be yashar. Helukim also esodom yoshor. Vehem bikshu chishbonos rabbis. What do you mean Hashem made Adam yoshor? Adam, we just learned now, is Adam. Aleph, Dalet, Mem. The Aleph was supposed to be straight. And all of a sudden, it tilted, and the whole world tilted, because the world, Adam, is a microcosm of the world, or the world is a microcosm of man. Here, at least in these words of the Chaimus Anach, you get a small, teeny appreciation of what this means. And that is, the Aleph was really meant to be Aleph, is really the true Aleph, is a combination of the Aleph and the Pei. That's how the original Aleph, whatever that means, I don't know, this is Kabbalah. But that principle of Ola b'machshavtoi, libra'oisoi b'midas hadin, af is anger, af basically means that when we're not behaving this midas hadin, Hashem saw, you know what? The world cannot exist with midas hadin, so Hashem was mishtatev to midas hadin, midas harachamim. What is the midas harachamim? Limud HaTorah. And by adding Limud HaTorah, that changed the Aleph, that shook up the Aleph, it shifted. It shifted. The addition of the Lamed is what shook up the Aleph to be off-center, not to be straight line with two yuds coming out in the center, but to be on a diagonal. And with that, the world tilted. The whole world is not on a straight axis, it's tilted. Because if it would be straight, that would be midas hadin. Elokim also has Adam Yoshar. Vein bikshu chishboinus rabois. And that's why we need midas harachamim. And that is why it's tilted, because of the lamed is what? The limud. And when it's an emergency, the Musar Haskel of the Chaimus Anach is, when you have an emergency, you don't have time to play around with nonsense. You want the real deal. When you have an emergency and you need a ventilator, you don't want an imitation. You don't want a knockoff from China. You want the real thing. You don't have time to pashka with nonsense when you have an emergency. If the world is in sakana and Hashem and Agol has to bring in the lamed to sustain the world in times of emergency, the lamed has to be pure, no nonsense. It has to be 100% l'shem shamayim. That's an incredible chiddush, because that means that the principle of mitoch shaloi l'shem abo l'shem does not apply when it comes to limud haTorah. Yeah, really? Puk chazi ma amadvar. Go out into this world, you'll see that that's not the way the world works today. Today the world works with incentives for learning Torah. Torah is a business. Torah has a lot of fluff and a lot of things that are going on that are not very ideal. Listen, that's the way the world works. What can we do? But at least we should take this Chaimus Anach and feel the guilt. Feel the guilt to at least enhance the purity of the learning of Torah, that it should be more Lishma than anything else that we do in our lives. Okay, we will stop here. We'll take a short break and then we'll learn some of the Parsha.
Rabbi Levine,
yes.
But the Aleph was without the Lamed, it's af, or anger. So maybe the Aleph itself, because you have the diagonal, but you have the Zuz on the diagonal, which is kind of like a compromise to soften the af.
Excellent.
Then we have that diagonal, like compromise.
The mezuzah is merames. The mezuzah you're saying is merames to this, or is merames, or maybe what you can say is like this. Let me say a bigger chiddush. By putting the mezuzah on a diagonal, you're straightening out the aleph. If the mezuzah would be straight, then the aleph would be crooked. By putting the mezuzah on a diagonal. Now, my idea doesn't make sense. No, I mean, it does make sense. It means I told you the Aleph is straight and the Yuds are coming out. By putting it on a diagonal, you're making the Aleph, you're making the line vertical. Vertical, and okay, so maybe, I mean, that's also possible, you know, as long as it's not a diagonal. The way they show it in the picture is that the Aleph was meant to be vertical and two Yuds coming out from the side. putting it on a diagonal, we put it 90 degrees, so the way we turn the mezuzah makes the aleph horizontal, the center line horizontal, and the yud coming on top, a yud coming on the bottom. Maybe that's also an interpretation of restoring the aleph to its proper shape. But the problem is, by doing that, you're ruining all the other letters. You're fixing one letter at the expense of 21 letters. I hear what you're saying. It's an interesting idea. It's an interesting idea. We put them. Yeah.
When you make the aleph look like a K, it's straight with two diagonal lines coming out of the middle.
When you make it straight.
In script, when you would make the aleph look like a K, some people write the aleph like a K.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
A straight line up and down.
Right.
And two U's on diagonal.
Right, that's in script. Right, that's what we're trying to say. That's the real way to write the aleph. The real intended way was a straight aleph. That represents af. The world can't exist with midas hadin. We need the lamid. The lamid is shaking it up. Symbolic of it being shaped up is its turning, is the lamid. And it has to be pure because you're bringing in something which is on the outside. All right, just give me one more minute. We'll do some commission.